So in a sense, Herman Cain's legacy may be that he made it really easy for just anyone to be a political pundit.
I mean, wait, he's just suspended, right? I mean, he could come back.
Well, nobody had to be Chris Matthews to predict the inevitability of this moment, right?
I am suspending my presidential campaign because of the continued distraction, the continued hurt caused on me and my family.
I'd love to be president, folks, but I just got some other stuff to deal with. Cain's straight-talking train of common-sense conservatism ran straight into a swamp of personal scandals. Allegations of sexual harassment, reports of a 13-year extramarital affair will no doubt be the theme, stated or otherwise, at Cain's holiday table. But the rest of America can move on, and GOP voters have moved on to candidate Newt Gingrich with a heavy inoculation against scandals of his own. Gingrich flamed out in the 1990s, you'll remember. The former speaker is currently leading in the influential Iowa polls with the support of 25% of likely Republican caucus-goers. That's according to the Des Moines Register. Anna Sale, political reporter for our co-producer WNYC and its political website, It's a Free Country, was at a Tea Party town hall with Newt Gingrich in Staten Island, New York this weekend. She joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
We also have Ron Christie with us. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, John.
Sit tight, Ron. We're going to get a sense of this Staten Island event that Anna attended. What was it like?
So the event happened on Saturday, and it opened just minutes after Herman Cain announced that he was exiting the race. So this hundreds of Tea Party activists had gathered, and even before they'd heard from Herman Cain, as I was talking to them, they were admitting to me that it looked like Newt Gingrich was going to be their candidate. But it wasn't because of any ringing endorsement of Gingrich himself. It was more like, well, our options, we're running out of them.
So not an enthusiastic excitement, a kind of, well, here we go.
No, listen to this Tea Party activist Bill Miller from New Jersey.
Ron Paul's at a ceiling, and he's not going anywhere further. You know, Michelle Bachmann, who I love, I adore, she's not going anywhere. And I don't see Santorum doing it either. So basically, you know, it comes down to Gingrich and Romney. It's Gingrich.
Wow, and that is Republican territory, Staten Island in New York.
Well, that is. There is actually a Republican congressional representative from Staten Island. That rep supports Mitt Romney, but at this particular event, Gingrich was the guy.
How did Gingrich sound?
Newt Gingrich wanted to make sure that everyone in the crowd knew that Herman Cain was a friend of his, that he was sad to see him go, that he thought Herman Cain had changed the debate in the Republican contest. He talked about his 999 plan and what it had done to the dialogue. Listen to this.
Whether you liked it or disliked it, was a big idea and started to elevate the debate towards big solutions and not the usual nitpicking, consultant-driven negativity.
So humility there, but a certain amount of confidence.
Confidence for Newt Gingrich, and listen to the way he talks about Herman Cain. He had a big idea, and there's nothing Newt Gingrich likes more than a big idea. So you see here that Newt Gingrich sees a bit of himself in Herman Cain, his willingness to shake up the establishment, come forth with something new and different. And so hearing that maybe an endorsement is forthcoming
today.
Right,
we're supposedly going to get an endorsement from Cain to Newt Gingrich. That was reported at least by one outlet last night. We'll see what happens today. Anna Sale, sit tight. Ron Christie, Republican political strategist for The Takeaway, and It's a Free Country, the politics website for our co-producer, WNYC. Does a Herman Cain endorsement get you anywhere if you're a Newt Gingrich, Ron Christie?
I don't think so, John. I think, obviously, from what we heard from Anna's reporting, there's a certain level of dissatisfaction among the Republican base. They're saying, well, we're not necessarily in it for Romney. Santorum can't win. Bachmann can't win. Well, I guess Gingrich is the last person standing. But at the end of the day, I think Cain's popularity continues to ebb, and I don't necessarily know whether that flow of support going to Gingrich from a Cain endorsement is really going to amount to much.
Well, then, you know, excuse me, I'm not a Chris Matthews, and I'm not a pundit, but that would seem to me, at the outset of the primary campaign, to be a huge disaster for Republican strategists. I mean, if anything, you've got to count on the enthusiasm of the base. And from Anna's tape right there, there's not a lot of enthusiasm for this front runner, Newt Gingrich.
No, there isn't. But I think it's still early. I mean, obviously, that the Iowa caucus is January 3rd and New Hampshire primary the following week. I think Republicans are doing a little bit of a soul searching now as we hit the holiday season. And I think once we put the turkey away and take the tree down and our other ornaments, Republicans are going to have to look and say, we have a golden opportunity to beat the incumbent president, Barack Obama. Do we squander that by having a nominee that is really not up to the task? And I think folks are going to take another look at Governor Romney, and I think they're going to take an even closer look at Governor Huntsman.
It's Ron Christie, Republican political strategist. Anna, so what does Gingrich think about the general election, his electability vis-a-vis Barack Obama, if it should get that far?
Well, he thinks he's going to be the nominee. He's already challenging Barack Obama to a series of Lincoln-Douglas debates like he held with Herman Cain. So he's certainly talking about his campaign as if he's headed towards the nomination. But, you know, we shall see. As Ron Christie said, we're a month away.
Well, Ron Christie, I want to go back to the very last thing that you said. You know, the story of the Republican primary campaign so far seems to be one front runner coming to the front, falling down, and then an unexpected person rising. So, as you say, can we then see Huntsman, maybe Ron Paul, rising to the top?
Well, good morning, Celeste. I don't believe that Ron Paul is going to really go much of anywhere. I mean, his level of support seems to be around 10%, and I think that's always where it will be. Governor Huntsman has made New Hampshire sort of his last stand. A affiliated PAC with Governor Huntsman is buying up a ton of airtime. Every time I turn on the television here in Cambridge, you see a Governor Huntsman commercial ostensibly aimed for voters in New Hampshire. So, yes, I think it is conceivable, given the amount of money that he's spending in the state and using that as his firewall, that if Huntsman does better than expected, I think we could be seeing a lot more of his face and his voice in the days to come.
All right, last minute to both of you. Which is more important at this point in the campaign, Iowa or New Hampshire, Ron?
I think New Hampshire is critical for Governor Romney. He's not predicted to win in Iowa, but if he doesn't finish convincingly in New Hampshire, you're going to look for another voice and another name.
Anna Sale?
New Hampshire is obviously more important, but in Iowa, look to see
obviously
who's got,
more important?
Is obviously more important, I would say. In Iowa, I'm just curious to see who's got the organization to handle the caucus, because Newt Gingrich's campaign is clearly overstretched at this point.
So does that mean that New Hampshire delivers the front runner, but Iowa delivers the also-ran?
You could say it that way. Iowa also delivers some momentum.
All right. To Anna Sale, political reporter for our co-producer, WNYC, and his political website, It's a Free Country, and Ron Christie, Republican political strategist for The Takeaway. Ron, thanks so much.
Always a pleasure.
Take care, Anna.
Thank you.